ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today, going to discuss about the glories of Lord Shiva. So I will recite one particular verse and then we will start discussing. So this verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24 and Text 18. आत्मा रामोपि यस्त्वस्य लोककल्पस्य राधसे शक्त्या युक्तो विचरति गोरया भगवान् भवः। लॉर्ड शिवा, द मोस्ट पावरफुल डेमिगॉड, सेकंड ओनली टू लॉर्ड विष्णु, इज सेल्फ सफिशिएंट। ऑल्दो ही हैज नथिंग टू एस्पायर फॉर इन द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड, for the benefit of those in the material world, he is always busily engaged everywhere and is accompanied by his dangerous energies like Goddess Kali and Goddess Durga. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva is known as the greatest devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is known as the best of all types of Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Consequently, Lord Shiva has a Vaishnava Sampradaya, the disciplic succession known as the Rudra Sampradaya, just as there is a Brahma Sampradaya coming directly from Lord Brahma. The Rudra Sampradaya comes directly from Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is one of the 12 great personalities as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Agyan. So today, being the very auspicious occasion of Shivaratri, we are going to discuss something about the glories of Lord Shiva, the position of Lord Shiva. So it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nimna Ganam Yata Ganga Devanam Achyuto Yata, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu Purananam Idam Tata. It is described just like Ganges is the best among all the rivers, and just like the Supreme Lord Achyuta is the topmost of all the gods, Devanam Achyuto Yata. And just like Lord Shiva is the best among all the Vaishnavas, this Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, is best among all the Puranas. So in order to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam as the best among all the Puranas, the example is taken that just like Lord Shiva is the best among all the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas means those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. So Lord Shiva is considered to be the best among all the devotees of Lord Krishna. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is the best among all the Puranas. So this is the position of Lord Shiva. He is the topmost devotee of Lord Krishna. So in various places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the position of Lord Shiva has been described in great detail. For example, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Arjuna was remembering how Lord Krishna had shown mercy to him in different ways after Krishna had disappeared from this world, Arjuna starts remembering how Krishna had given mercy to Arjuna in so many ways. In one particular verse, Arjuna was recollecting how once when Arjuna was fighting with Lord Shiva in Himalayas, Lord Shiva became very pleased with Arjuna. And then, being pleased with Arjuna, Lord Shiva gave his own weapon called Pashupatastra. Lord Shiva uses this weapon called Pashupatastra at the time of annihilation of the universe. So Lord Shiva is in charge of annihilation of the universe. So Lord Shiva gave his own weapon, which is used at the time of annihilation of the universe, to Arjuna, being pleased with Arjuna, although Arjuna was fighting with Lord Shiva. In fact, when in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, when Dhritarashtra asked Sanjaya, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yuyutsavaha Mamaka Pandavashchaiva Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. Sanjaya asked Dhritarashtra, asked Sanjaya, please tell me as to what happened in this land of Kurukshetra, which is known as the Dharma Kshetra. This Kurukshetra, after assembling in the land of Kurukshetra, which is known as a place of pilgrimage, what did my sons and the Pandavas do? So when Dhritarashtra was asking this question to Sanjaya, he was actually remembering that fact. He remembered that fact that Lord Shiva had given this Pashupatastra weapon to Arjuna. So he wanted to know, because he knew the greatness of the weapon Pashupatastra, because that is used at the time of annihilation of the universe. He wanted to know whether Arjuna is going to use that weapon, whether Arjuna is using that weapon in the battle. He was very afraid of that. So we can see that Arjuna pleased Lord Shiva, that although Arjuna actually fought with Lord Shiva. Whereas Ravan is considered to be one of the great devotees of Lord Shiva. Although Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but when he was fighting with Lord Ram in Lanka, but he could not be saved by Lord Shiva, whom he worshipped throughout his life. On the other hand, Arjuna is a devotee of Lord Krishna, but Arjuna was fighting with Lord Shiva. And although Arjuna was fighting with Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva became very pleased with Arjuna. But Ravana is a devotee of Lord Shiva. He was fighting with Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, but he could not be saved by Lord Shiva. So this shows that Lord Shiva is very inclined, very much inclined towards the devotees of Lord Krishna. That although the devotees of Lord Krishna was fighting with him, he became very pleased with him, so much so that he gave his personal weapon to Arjuna. So this is the position of a devotee of Lord Krishna, that he can please Lord Shiva very easily. On the other hand, a person may be a devotee of Lord Shiva, but he cannot, although he may be a devotee of Lord Shiva, but he cannot be saved by Lord Shiva. And further in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that how, when it is described in the third canto, when Lord Kapila Dev, when he was instructing Mother Devahuti, Kapila Dev was telling Mother Devahuti about how one should meditate on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So there he mentions, Yachraucha Nishrita Sarit Pravarodakena Tirtena Murdi Adhikritena Shiva Shivobhut. So there Kapila Dev says, the blessed Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva, who is known as Ashutosh, or Shiva, the word Shiva means auspicious. So the blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more auspicious by carrying upon his head the water which has washed the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Yachraucha Nishrita Sarit Pravarodakena. Lord Shiva carries upon his head the Ganges water, which is actually the water which washed the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So it is described that Lord Shiva becomes all the more auspicious by carrying the water which has washed the lotus feet of Lord, Supreme Lord Krishna. So here Srila Prabhupada mentions that a relationship with the lotus feet of Lord can even enhance the importance of Lord Shiva. Then what to speak of other living entities? Lord Shiva is already auspicious. He is already so pure. But even Lord Shiva becomes, the relationship with the lotus feet of the Lord can enhance even the glory of Lord Shiva. Then what to speak of other living entities? So this is the power of the Charanamrita, the lotus feet of the Lord, that it can make even Lord Shiva more auspicious, although he is already auspicious. And then, in another place, it has been described about the position of Lord Shiva. One of the glory of Lord Shiva. It's in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, an episode comes in which Daksha Prajapati, who is one of the progenitors of mankind, when Lord Brahma created this world, his service was to increase the population of the universe. So in order to increase the population, he took help of different people called as Prajapatis to increase the population. So Daksha was one of the Prajapatis, and he gave his daughter Sati in marriage to Lord Shiva. But although he gave his daughter Sati in marriage to Lord Shiva, Daksha Prajapati was very much envious of Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva was very much respected by everyone, and Lord Shiva was, although he was like always he was unclean, he was surrounded by ghosts and hobgoblins, but he was like respected by all the demigods. So Daksha Prajapati was very much envious of Lord Shiva, who was his son-in-law. So once when Daksha Prajapati was performing a sacrifice, so when he entered the sacrificial arena, everyone in that assembly stood up to show respect to Daksha Prajapati, except Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva did not stand up to respect Daksha Prajapati because he was absorbed in meditating upon Lord Krishna. So because he was always absorbed in meditating on Lord Krishna, he did not even recognize that Daksha Prajapati entered. But then because Daksha was very much already envious of Lord Shiva, this act of Lord Shiva increased his envy very much. So then he started blaspheming Lord Shiva. So later the sacrifice was stopped. So then later Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, when she went to her father's house, when Daksha was performing another sacrifice, when she went there, she saw that his father was not offering oblations to Lord Shiva, who is one of the demigods. So that time, Sati becomes very much insulted because she thinks that Lord Shiva is not given proper respect here. So that time, Sati speaks to Daksha Prajapati. She says, Doshan Pareshan, hi Guneshu. She says that, oh, twice-born Daksha, you can simply find faults in other living entities. Whereas, Lord Shiva not only finds no faults in other living entities, but he magnifies the small good quality of a person to a great amount. To such a great personality as Lord Shiva, you are actually found fault and such a great personality as Lord Shiva. So there are different kinds of people in this world. The common people in this world, they will see the good qualities and bad qualities in a person. So every person, all of us, we have certain good qualities and bad qualities. So the common people, they will see both the good qualities and the bad qualities. But above the common people are the saintly people who are like honeybees. Just like a honeybee, although a place may be filled with garbage, a honeybee will only go to the lotus flower which has a honey. Although the flower may be surrounded by so much of garbage. So similarly, saintly persons are like honeybee, that they will only see the good qualities a person has. Or they will neglect the bad qualities. They will not see the bad qualities. But even among the saintly persons, it is very rare to find a great saintly person, a great soul, who can find a small good quality and then magnify it like anything. Saintly persons see only the good quality and neglect the bad qualities. But even among those such kind of saintly persons, it is very rare to find a person who sees a small good quality and then magnifies it like anything. So such a person is very rare. Lord Shiva is on that platform, who not only sees no faults in others, but he magnifies a small good quality to a great extent. But below the common people are those people who see the good qualities as bad qualities. Although a person may be filled with good qualities, these lowest kind of people, they see the good qualities a person has, they see that as bad qualities. So Daksha Prajapati is an example of that lowest kind of person. Although Lord Shiva possesses only good qualities, Daksha Prajapati found faults with Lord Shiva, who does not have any bad qualities. He saw the good qualities of Lord Shiva as bad qualities. But whereas Lord Shiva, he sees a small good quality and then magnifies it like anything. Or Lord Shiva sees a bad quality as a good quality. Although a person may possess bad quality, but then he sees that as a good quality. For example, there was a demon called Vrikasur. So this demon was performing austerities to worship Lord Shiva. So when he was performing austerities to worship Lord Shiva appeared in front of him. So this demon, he wanted to get power from Lord Shiva, that whomever he touches, whosoever head he touches, that person will die immediately, will be burned to ashes. So he wanted that benediction. But the purpose of the getting that benediction is, he wanted to kill Lord Shiva. He wanted to kill Lord Shiva by getting that benediction. So but then Lord Shiva, although he knew that this person has a bad intention for getting the benediction, still Lord Shiva was very pleased with him, because he saw that he is actually worshipping me. He saw that good quality in that person. Or in other words, although this person had bad intention, he did not see that. He saw the bad quality as the good quality, and he granted the benediction. Later on, of course, when he came to kill Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu had to intervene, and then he saved Lord Shiva. So the point is that Lord Shiva is a very exalted person, that he sees the small good quality and magnifies it like anything. Or sometimes he sees a bad quality in a person as a good quality. So such kind of person is very rare to be found in this world. So this Lord Shiva has explained that Lord Shiva, he wears a dress. He actually covers his body with ashes. And he is always surrounded by ghosts and hobgoblins. And like his hair, he has a matted hair. He does not take bath. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Gornithai ki jai. So why does Lord Shiva has this kind of a weird lifestyle, weird dress code? So we said that Lord Shiva is the best among all the Vaishnavas. So but then why does Lord Shiva wear this kind of a dress? Because Lord Shiva wants to elevate the lowest kind of people to the platform of a Vaishnava. For example, suppose if you want to go to Dharavi and if you want to preach, you want to have a, hold a satsang program there. If you are going in a big coat, suit and coat with coat, suit, tie, and with the shoes, then people may not listen to us. If you have to go and preach there, we have to have some simple dress. We have to look as if like we are one among them. Or sometimes if you have to go and hold a program in a hostel where college students study, sometimes because when a person goes in a shaven headed, in a dhoti kurta, the students may get scared. So in order to attract them, sometimes the devotees go in pant shirt in order to preach to them, to tell them, oh, we are also one among them. So similarly, Lord Shiva, in order to preach to the lowest kind of people, like ghosts and hobgoblins, in order to attract them and elevate them to Krishna consciousness, he actually dresses himself as one among them. So that is the position of Lord Shiva, that he is very merciful. He wants to elevate the lowest kind of people. It actually takes great compassion. In Bombay, when there is coaching classes, in coaching classes, that many coaching classes, in order to have good result, so they will actually admit those students who are already bright. They will only admit those students who are already bright because they want to have good result. But a really good coaching classes, a really good teacher is one who can teach the lowest, who can teach a person who has failed many times, and then he can elevate that person to a highest rank. It takes great amount of purity and great amount of compassion for such a person to teach the lowest kind of person. So Lord Shiva is such a kind of person. First of all, he wants to elevate the lowest kind of person to the highest kind of Krishna consciousness. So that is the compassionate nature of Lord Shiva. So that is why he dresses himself in such a manner. So it is explained in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that once when Prachetas, the sons of a king called Prachina Bargishad, they went to perform austerities in order to please Lord Krishna. So when Prachetas went to perform austerities, Lord Shiva appeared in that place. It is described that Lord Shiva is usually very rarely seen by common people. But although he is very rarely seen by common people, Lord Shiva came to that place willingly in order to give instructions to the Prachetas. So there it is described that when Lord Shiva starts speaking to the Prachetas, It is described,
Yuyam Vedasata Putra
Viditum Vachikishatam Anugrahaya Badramva Evam Me Darshanam Kritam. Lord Shiva said, you are all sons of King Prachina Barishat, and I wish all good fortune upon you. I also know what you are going to do, and therefore I am visible just to show my mercy upon you. So Lord Shiva knows what Prachetas are going to do. Prachetas are going to perform devotional service to please Lord Shiva, to Lord Krishna. So knowing that, Lord Shiva comes to that place in order to show his mercy upon the Prachetas. So there, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, these Prachetas, they have not yet begun performing devotional service to Lord Krishna. They simply desire to worship Lord Krishna. Although the Prachetas simply made a decision or they simply made a desire to worship Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva becomes very pleased with Prachetas and he willingly comes. Just imagine, if a person simply desires to worship Lord Krishna, if such a person, if Lord Shiva becomes very pleased with such a person, what to speak of a person who is already executing devotional service? How much more can he please Lord Shiva? How much more Lord Shiva will be pleased with such a person? So Lord Shiva is very pleased with the Prachetas simply because of the fact they made a decision that they want to worship Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada says that the demigods, they are always ready to give all kinds of benedictions. They are always ready to serve all the devotees of Lord Krishna. They are waiting for an opportunity to serve the devotees of Lord Krishna. Whereas if you have to get the benediction from Lord Shiva, whereas people, they struggle hard, perform so many austerities to please Lord Shiva. But whereas when a person becomes a devotee of Lord Krishna, the demigods, they are waiting for an opportunity to serve such a devotee. Because Lord Shiva is the leader of all the demigods, if the leader of the demigods is having such an attitude, what to speak of other demigods? So definitely other demigods will also have the same attitude, waiting for the opportunity to serve the devotees of Lord Krishna. Then, in the next verse, Lord Shiva says, Yaha param ramhasa sakshat triguna jiva samhitad bhagavantam vasudevam prapannasa priyohime. Lord Shiva says, any person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the controller of everything, the material nature as well as the living entities, is actually very dear to me. So Lord Shiva is very clearly saying, Yaha param ramhasa sakshat. Usually, some people think that if a person worships Lord Shiva or Durga or Ganesh, it is as good as worshipping Lord Krishna. One will get the same benefit of worshipping Lord Krishna whether one worships Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma or Durga or any other god. But whereas this particular statement is nullified here by none other than Lord Shiva himself. Lord Shiva is saying, Yaha param ramhasa sakshat. That sakshat, that means one who is the direct devotee of Lord Krishna. He does not say that one who is a devotee of Lord Durga or Ganesh or Lord Brahma is very dear to me. He does not say that. He says one who is completely surrendered or one who is the direct devotee of Lord Krishna, such a person is very dear to me. So Lord Shiva is making a very clear statement. that the devotees of Lord Krishna are very dear to him. So Srila Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that a devotee of Lord Shiva is not dear to Lord Shiva, but a devotee of Lord Krishna is very dear to Lord Shiva. So this is a statement made by Lord Shiva himself. Then the next verse, Lord Shiva says, Swadharmanishta Shatajanma Bippuman Virinchatam Yeti Tataparam Himam Avyakritam Bhagavatotai Vaishnavam Padam Yataham Vibudakalatyaye. Lord Shiva is saying, a person who executes his occupational duty means the duty according to one's varna and ashram, the four varnas and four ashramas. He says, what is the qualification to reach the position of Lord Brahma? The qualification required to reach the position of Lord Brahma, to become Lord Brahma, is one has to perform one's occupational duty for 100 lifetimes. So when a person performs his occupational duties perfectly for 100 lifetimes, he occupies the post of Lord Brahma. He goes to the Satya Loka. And when such a person becomes more qualified, then such a person becomes transferred to Lord, the planet of Lord Shiva, comes to my own abode. But then he says, on the other hand, a person who is surrendered to Lord Krishna, avyakritam bhagavatota vaishnavam, a person who is surrendered to Lord Krishna, he is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. And then he says, but whereas Lord Shiva and other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world. He's saying, when a person performs the Varnashram Dharma for 100 lifetimes, first he goes to the planet of Lord Brahma. Then when he becomes more qualified, he goes to the planet of Lord Shiva. Then at the end of the annihilation, when the universe is annihilated, then such a person is transferred to Vaikuntha planets. Whereas a person who is a direct devotee of Lord Krishna is directly transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. Just like suppose a building is there having 100 floors. A devotee of Lord Brahma can go up only up to 10 floors. He can only take that particular lift which can take up to 10 floors. A devotee of Lord Shiva, such a person who becomes more qualified, he can only go up to Lord Shiva, which is like 15 floors. But whereas a devotee of Lord Krishna, he is allowed directly to go to the 100th floor, the Vaikuntha planets. So this is the position of a devotee of Lord Krishna. Then Lord Shiva further says, Atha Bhagavata Yuyam Priyasta Bhagavan Yata Namad Bhagavata Namcha Preyan Anyoti Karhichid. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me and that I am dear to them. Thus no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. So Lord Shiva is telling to the Prachetas, since you are all devotees of Lord Krishna, I appreciate you, I respect you as much as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So here, it is explained that Lord Shiva respects not only the Prachetas, but he is respecting all the devotees of Lord Krishna. And how does he respect the devotees of Lord Krishna? He respects the devotees of Lord Krishna just like he respects the Lord Krishna himself. So then it is explained that Lord Shiva, Prabhupada explains that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras simply for the sake of formality. When a person worships Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva blesses them, but simply as a matter of formality. But whereas he loves those who are devotees of Lord Krishna. So that is the, we can see the heart of Lord Krishna. So the devotees of Krishna, they are actually devotees of Lord Shiva. But whereas those who are devotees of Lord Shiva, they are actually not devotees of Lord Shiva. So that is the point. So in this way, we can understand the position of Lord Shiva, that how he actually respects the devotees of Lord Krishna. So in this, the particular verse which we recited in the beginning of this class, it explains Atma Ramas Tvapasya Loka Kalmasya Radhase. Lord Shiva is self-sufficient. He is completely self-satisfied. So when a person is self-satisfied, he does not hanker after material things. So Lord Shiva is completely self-satisfied. So usually when we think of a person who is self-satisfied, who is not greedy, so we may think that such a person will just sit at a place, he will be simply meditating, he will not be doing many activities. We may think like that. But here it is explained that although Lord Shiva is self-satisfied, it is explained that Loka Kalpasya Radhase, for the benefit of the whole world, he is accompanied by very dangerous energies like ghosts and hobgoblins. For the benefit of the whole world, he is always making plans as to how to deliver the lowest kind of people, how to deliver the living entities. So usually, when a person is doing many things, is doing many projects, such a person cannot sit at a particular place. Some people they want to do so many things, this project, second, so many activities they want to do, because they cannot sit at a particular place. And usually a person who is simply self-satisfied, we think that such a person will not do many active active devotional service. But then here it is explained that Lord Shiva is self-satisfied, but although he is self-satisfied, he is engaged in so many activities in order to deliver the conditioned souls. What kind of activities? He is accompanied by Goraya Shaktya. He is accompanied by the dangerous material energies. He is accompanied by ghosts and hobgoblins. So that shows that Lord Shiva is actually tasting devotional service. Because the nature of devotional service is, when a person is actually experiencing devotional service, he will not want to simply be satisfied. He will want to share the devotional service with others. On the other hand, a person who is simply satisfied with himself, so that person is definitely good. He is not hankering after other material things. But then he may not be tasting devotional service. Because the nature of devotional service is, one who is tasting devotional service is, he wants to share that with others. The nature of devotional service is, it is dynamic. The devotion in the heart of a person, it impels that person to share that devotion with others. Because Lord Shiva is tasting devotional service to Lord Krishna, but although he is self-satisfied, he wants to share that happiness which he has with others. So that is the position of Lord Shiva. So this Lord Shiva, when he was instructing the Prachetas, so he is actually describing about the beauty of the Supreme Lord. So usually when we see Lord Shiva, the followers of Lord Shiva, they actually believe that the Supreme Lord is impersonal in nature. So there are different aspects of the absolute truth. The impersonal feature, the localized aspect called the Paramatma feature and the personal feature of the Lord. And those who are worshippers of Lord Shiva, they think that the absolute truth or the Supreme Lord is impersonal. That means he does not have a form, he does not have qualities. So they think like that. But then, here we see that Lord Shiva, when he is actually instructing the Prachetas, he is describing in great detail about the personal feature of the Lord. In fact, he describes the every bodily part of the form of Lord Krishna. He says in one particular verse, that Pura Rechaka Samvigna Vali Valgu Dalodaram Prati Sankramayat Vishvam Nabhya Varta Gabiraya. He says that the Lord's abdomen is so beautiful because of the three ripples which is found in the abdomen. And the Lord's abdomen, it exactly resembles the leaf of a banyan tree. And when the Lord exhales and inhales, the coils inside that navel, when Lord exhales and inhales, that it increases the beauty of the Lord's abdomen. And the coils within the navel of the Lord are so deep that it appears that the entire universe sprouted out of it and yet again wishes to go back. So Lord Shiva is describing the beautiful feature of the Lord's navel and abdomen. The Lord's abdomen contains three ripples and it appears very beautiful and it resembles the leaf of a banyan tree. And we know that the universe came out of the navel of the Supreme Lord. When the universe came out of the navel of the Supreme Lord, and the universe, when it saw the navel of the Lord, being attracted by the beauty of the navel of the Lord, the universe wants to go back again into the navel of the Lord. So in this way, usually, like nobody describes about the navel of a person, which is like a very insignificant bodily part of a person. But then Lord Shiva is describing in great detail about the navel of the Supreme Lord. So we can see that the followers of Lord Shiva, who believe that the Lord is impersonal, they are worshipping Lord Shiva. But then the leader of the impersonalists, he is describing in great detail about the beauty of Lord Krishna. So this is the position. And these verses are spoken by Lord Shiva to the Prachetas. So we see in this world, there are so many so-called spiritual organizations. They are trying to convert people from one religion into another religion. So when they want to convert people from one religion to another religion, like especially they target, like they open so many schools, and whoever gets admitted into that school, they actually forcibly, they brainwash them. Because when somebody is like young, like they naturally do not know about many religious truths. So when they are told certain truths, when they are told some things, like that forms a deep impression on such persons. Like so many so-called missionaries, when they brainwash these young people, in order to saying that you should come to this religion. All the other religions are bogus. So they brainwash because they take advantage of the innocent nature of the young people. Or they attract the people by showing that if you join our religion, you will get these benefits. You'll get free treatment in the hospital, you will get job, like that. So here, Lord Shiva is preaching to the Prachetas, and Prachetas are very young boys, and they do not know many truths. So if they are told something in their young age, so naturally it will go deep into their heart. So Lord Shiva, if he had wanted, he could have converted them, he could have made them as Shaivites, as exclusive devotees of himself. But then Lord Shiva, although he knew that these are all young boys, whatever I speak, they will actually follow. He spoke about Lord Krishna. That shows the heart of Lord Shiva. You see, that whereas we see in this world, whereas the Shaivite, the so-called followers of Lord Shiva, they are fighting with the Vaishnavas, saying that Lord Shiva is superior. But here, Lord Shiva is preaching to the people who can be most easily preached. About what? He is preaching about devotional service to Lord Krishna. So that clearly shows that Lord Shiva will be very pleased when a person directly takes the devotional service of Lord Krishna. So then further in the prayers of Lord Shiva, in one particular prayer he says, Kshanarde napi tulaye na swargam napunar bhavam. Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha. Lord Shiva is telling his the deepest heart's desire. He says, Kshanarde Napi Tulaye. Even a half a moment's association with the devotee of Lord Krishna cannot be compared with going to the heavenly planets, or it cannot be compared with getting liberation. Then what to speak of other earthly benefits? In fact, the acharyas say, like, suppose if you want to compare the size of a Himalayan mountain with a mustard seed, can a person compare a mustard seed with a Himalayan mountain? There is no sense in comparing a mustard seed with a Himalayan mountain. So similarly, the moment of association with the devotee of the Lord is ridiculous to compare such a thing with going to the heavenly planets or getting liberation. So getting liberation means basically, like, nowadays people want peace from different anxieties. So that is actually basically the desire for liberation. So getting association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared with anything. So then Lord Shiva says, Atha anagengres tavakirti tirta yor antar bhagisnana viduta papmanam bhutesh anukrosha susatva shilinam syatsangamonugraha yesha nastava. Lord Shiva is saying, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things, and it can eradicate all kinds of sinful reactions. And then he says, I therefore beg your lordship to bless me by the association of your dear devotees who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet. And then he says, such devotees are very merciful upon the conditioned souls. And finally he says, I think that your real benediction is that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees. So Lord Shiva is saying, the real benediction of Lord Krishna is that when the Lord Krishna allows a person to associate with his devotees. So this is the Lord Shiva is expressing his heart's desire, that he wants to associate with the devotees of Lord Krishna. So in this way, Lord Shiva is describing, giving his heart's desire. And finally, we can see in another place in the Srimad Bhagavatam that once when there was a fight between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna, when Lord Shiva was fighting with a demon called Banasur, so this demon Banasur was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So Banasur had a benediction from Lord Shiva that whenever he would fight his enemy in a battle, that Lord Shiva would be the commander-in-chief of his army. So when Banasur was fighting with Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva was fighting on the side of Banasur as the commander-in-chief. So at that time, Lord Shiva was fighting with Lord Krishna. So Lord Shiva when he was fighting with Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva released his most powerful weapon called Shivajwar. So this Shivajwar created intense heat, such heat that which happens only at the time of annihilation. So it created intense heat. So in order to counteract this weapon called Shivajwar, Lord Krishna released his weapon called Narayanajwar. So this Narayanajwar created opposite effect by cooling effect. So there was, both these weapons are personalities. Vedic culture, everything is a personality. So this, when Shivajwar and Narayanajwar attacked, so gradually the temperature of Shivajwar started reducing. So Shivajwar was getting suffocated by the attack of Narayanajwar. So then, in order to protect himself, Shivajwar approached Lord Shiva, who is his master. But then Lord Shiva could not protect Shivajwar. So when Shivajwar felt that, oh, I have no other, even my own master could not protect, then finally Shivajwar surrendered to Lord Krishna, who released the Narayanajwar. So then Shivajwar starts offering prayers to Lord Krishna. So in that prayer, Shivajwar glorifies Lord Krishna, saying that you are the ultimate cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Today I have come to know that you are even greater than Lord Shiva. You possess unlimited opulences. So then Shivajwar, when surrenders to Lord Krishna, then Lord Krishna protects him. So in this way we can see that Lord Krishna is superior to Lord Shiva. And when a person becomes devotee of Lord Krishna, he automatically pleases Lord Shiva. So if a person really wants to get the favor of Lord Shiva, then he should directly worship Lord Krishna. And by worshipping Lord Krishna, he automatically becomes the devotee of Lord Shiva. On the other hand, when a person tries to worship Lord Shiva separately, then such a person may be blessed by Lord Shiva, but then Lord Shiva blesses such a person only out of formality. Whereas he actually loves a devotee of Lord Krishna from his own heart. So in this way, it is very clear that what is the path one should follow from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll stop here. If anybody has any one question, we'll take it. Otherwise, start Kirtan. Was Lord Shiva? So the question is something like, how was Lord Shiva created? So Lord Shiva was created from between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma. He explained that once when Lord Brahma told his sons, the four Kumaras, to assist him in increasing the population, the four Kumaras denied Lord Brahma that we do not want to get entangled in the family affairs. We do not want to engage in this activity, increasing the population. So when the four Kumaras declined Lord Brahma's proposal, Lord Brahma became angry. So when he became angry, so from retaining his eyebrows, Lord Shiva was born, Rudra was born. So that is why then Lord Shiva is in charge of annihilation, is in charge of the mode of passion, because he was born out of the anger of Lord Brahma. So we'll take it personally. So we'll stop here. Granthanath Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shankar